Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Mercenary Matriarch, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Ashes of Emily. The coffin was too small. That's what clawed at my gut, made my hands shake like I'd mainlined espresso. Not the lilies stinking up the chapel like some dollar store air freshener. Not the way Pastor Jim kept sniffling into his Bible like he was the one who'd buried a child. No, it was that polished cherrywood box, brass handles gleaming under the fluorescence, looking like it was built for a fucking poodle. My Emily deserved a cathedral, a mausoleum, a goddamn pyramid. Not this thing that could have doubled as an IKEA coffee table. I sat in the front pew, my knees popping like firecrackers. 68 years old, and every one of them felt like a kick to the ribs. The organ wheezed out Amazing Grace, and I wanted to hurl the hymnal at the stained glass Jesus. Grace? What grace? My girl was gone at 27, her skin blue as a gas station slushy when I found her. No angels sang that night, just the hum of the fridge and the drip-drip of the bathroom faucet where she'd nodded off for the last time. The pallbearers shuffled in, three tweakers from the trailer park and a pimpled kid from the funeral home. I'd paid them $200 each. Cash. Emily's friends, the ones who'd shared her needles and her bed, didn't show. Cowards. They knew better. Knew I'd stare into their bloodshot eyes and see every baggie, every lie, every time they'd watched her choke on her own vomit and just scrolled their fucking phones. Pastor Jim sidled up, his hand landing on my shoulder like a dead fish. Betty, the Lord works in mysterious ways? I snapped, shrugging him off. Yeah, I got the memo. Your Lord let a bunch of suit-wearing ghouls turn my girl into a profit margin. You want to preach? Save it for the assholes at Carson Pharma. He blinked, mouth flapping like a hooked trout. Good. Let him squirm. The wake was at my house. Always is in towns like ours. Casseroles lined the counter. Tuna glop, tater tot surprise, enough green jello to fill a swimming pool. Neighbors huddled in the living room, sipping Folgers and whispering behind their hands. Their eyes kept darting to the hallway, to Emily's shut bedroom door. I hadn't touched it. Couldn't. The walls were still plastered with her band posters, Nirvana, Hole, that grunge shit she loved. Her sketchbook lay open on the desk, half-finished drawings of owls and wilting roses. And her nightstand. Christ. The syringe was still there, crusted brown at the tip. I poured bourbon into my coffee mug, the one with world's okayest grandma, etched in Comic Sans, and stared at the orange bottles lined up on the kitchen table. Oxycontin. Fentanyl patches. Xanax. Emily's prescriptions. Each one stamped with that snake and staff logo. Carson Pharmaceuticals. The name tasted like battery acid. I'd Googled them at 3 a.m., the house groaning like it was morning too. Watched their CEO Michael Varga on CNBC, smirking about market disruption. Saw their sales reps, Ken and Barbie clones in sharp suits, handing out free samples at clinics like they were passing out Halloween candy. And their stock price? Up 400% since the epidemic began. Bastards. They'd turned my girl into a quarterly earnings report. Betty. Marnie from next door hovered in the doorway, clutching a casserole dish like it was a life raft. Her perm smelled like burnt toast and regret. We're all so sorry. If you need anything. I need a time machine, I said, sloshing more bourbon. Or a flamethrower. You got either of those, Marnie? She backed out like I'd pulled a knife. That night, I dreamt of Emily's laugh. The real one, before the pills turned her into a ghost. She was 6 years old, chasing fireflies in the backyard, her sundress glowing in the dusk. Look, Grammy. They're like tiny stars. I woke up clawing at the sheets, sweat soaking my nightgown. The clock blinked 3:17 a.m. I limped to the kitchen, my slippers scuffing over the linoleum. The pill bottles glinted in the moonlight. I picked one up, squinted at the tiny print. Manufactured by Carson Pharmaceuticals, New Jersey. My fist closed around it, plastic biting into my palm. That's when I saw it. Tucked under the microwave, dusty and forgotten, Frank's Rolodex. my dead husband's little black book of business associates. Frank had been a union enforcer back in the 90s. Broke knees for the steelworkers Local 42, God rest his soul. I'd pretended not to know. Pretended the cash in his sock drawer was overtime pay. But now, I yanked it out. The card smelled like Old Spice and Marlboros. Vinny the Fish Santoro. Tommy Two Knives. Razor. The last name had a number scribbled in red ink. No area code. Just 555-1972. The bourbon burned my throat as I dialed. He answered on half a ring. Who's dying? The voice was gravel in a blender. I pictured a face like a dropped meat loaf, knuckles scarred from punching brick walls. Everyone, I said. A pause. Then a wet chuckle. Frank's widow, right? The church lady. I'm nobody's lady. And I'm done with church. What's the job? I traced Carson's logo on the pill bottle. Corporate. Three targets. Maybe more. Pharma. How'd you know? He snorted. You're the fifth this month. Oxy orphans. Fent freaks. You want to play Batman, Granny? It'll cost you. I've got money. Not yours. Pension funds. Steelworkers, right? Frank bragged about that nest egg. My stomach dropped. Frank had told his thug friends about my union work? About the retirement accounts I'd managed for 30 years? You're out of your mind. Am I? Razor's tone sharpened. You think I answer cold calls from randos? Frank said you were slick. Said you could move money like a ghost. So here's the deal. You funnel cash from the pension, I turn it into bullets. And bodies. The clock ticked. Emily's face flashed behind my eyes, pale, lifeless, her chapped lips parted like she'd been mid-scream. Meet me, I said. Union Hall. Tomorrow. Come alone. The hall reeked of stale beer and defeat. I'd spent decades here, haggling over healthcare plans and strike funds. Now I sat at table 4, the one Frank used for private meetings. My purse held a .38 revolver loaded. Frank's last birthday gift. For the neighborhood punks, he'd said. Joke was on him. The only punk left was me. Razor looked like a biker Santa Claus, beard white as cocaine, eyes black as a fender. He slid into the chair, his leather jacket squeaking. Show me the targets. I passed him the folder. CEO Michael Varga. CFO Lydia Cho. Sales VP Richard Voss. Headshots from corporate websites. Their smiles so smug I wanted to scratch them off the paper. Varga's got a wife, 3 kids, Razor said. So did I. He grinned, gold tooth glinting. Budget. $2 million. For starters. He whistled. Steelworkers gonna miss that? It's for safety training. I slid a forged invoice across the table. Workers comp hazard pay. They'll rubber stamp it. Cold bitch. Frank undersold you. Frank's dead. And these motherfuckers. I stabbed Varga's photo. Are living large on my daughter's grave. So tell me, Razor. Can you make it hurt? He leaned in. Cigar smoke and brewed aftershave. Voss first. Salesman's the weak link. We'll hit him at home. Make it messy. Scare the rest into hiding. Good. But Betty. His hand covered mine, crushing my knuckles. You transfer one dime before the job's done, I'll peel your face off. Understood. I didn't blink. You get paid when they're dead. Not before. He laughed, loud and mean. Welcome to the family. That night, I sat in Emily's room. Her bedspread was Hello Kitty, faded from 1,000 washes. I opened her nightstand drawer. Empty baggies. Burnt spoons. A postcard from Carson Pharma's sales conference in Miami. Thanks for being a loyal patient, scrawled in gel pen. Loyal. Right. I pressed the postcard to my chest and whispered to the shadows. I'll make them pay, baby. I swear it. Somewhere a floorboard creaked. Maybe Frank's ghost. Maybe the cancer gnawing my gut. The one I'd ignored since the diagnosis. Either way, time was short. I reached for the Rolodex. 2 million bullets. 3 pharma kings. And 1 old woman with nothing left to lose. Chapter 2, Pension Fund Bullets. The union hall smelled like defeat. Stale cigars, spilled beer, and the faint tang of rust from the steel mill across the street. I'd spent 30 years in this shithole, signing off on pension plans and dental benefits, pretending I gave a damn about 401k. S and Cobra subsidies. Now I sat at table 4, Frank's old haunt, with a forged invoice in my hands and a .38 in my purse. The fluorescent lights buzzed like angry wasps. Razor was late. I flipped through the folder again. $2.8 million for safety training. The numbers blurred. Emily's face flickered in my mind, her smile before the pills, her hollow eyes after. Focus, Betty. I'd spent 3 sleepless nights doctoring spreadsheets, rerouting funds through shell companies with names like Ironclad Safety Solutions. The union's accountant, Tony, a sweaty little man with a comb-over and a gambling habit, hadn't blinked. Just stamped the forms and asked if I wanted a Danish. The door creaked. Razor strode in, a hulking shadow in a leather jacket two sizes too small. His beard was frost white, his eyes blacker than a fracking spill. Two goons trailed him. One built like a fridge, the other twitchy as a meth head squirrel. "Granny's early," Razor sneered, dropping into the chair. It groaned under his weight. "Nervous?" I slid the folder across the table. "First transfer goes through tomorrow. Half a mil." He didn't touch it. The fridge guy cracked his knuckles. Twitchy stared at the exit. "Half now, half after the job," I said. Razor laughed, a sound like gravel in a wood chipper. "You think this DoorDash? I don't work on credit. And I don't work with amateurs." I nodded at Twitchy. "Your boy looks like he'd piss himself at a traffic stop." Twitchy lunged. Razor's hand shot out, clamping his wrist. "Sit. Down." The kid slumped back, face red. Razor leaned in, his breath reeking of bourbon and Marlboros. "You're paying for professionals, Betty. Not choir boys. But if you want to play boss," he pulled a Glock from his waistband, slapped it on the table. "Let's see your spine." The gun gleamed. My palms slicked with sweat. Frank's voice in my head. "Never let him see you blink." I picked up the Glock. "Cold, heavy." The fridge guy tensed. "Safety's on," I said, flipping it off. "Rookie mistake." Razor's gold tooth flashed. "Frank taught you well. Frank's dead. And I'm not here for nostalgia." I shoved the gun back. "First target." "When?" He unfolded a map. "Red X over a McMansion in the suburbs. Richard Voss. Carson's head of sales. Loves his cocaine, his pool parties, and his 19-year-old mistress. We hit him Friday. Make it messy, send a message." "How messy?" "Ever seen a man drown in his own hot tub?" I swallowed bile. Emily, floating in the bathtub. Her hair fanned out like seaweed. "Make sure they know why he died." Razor smirked. "We'll leave a note. With your name on it. Try it, and I'll burn your money to ash." Silence. The fridge guy cracked his knuckles again. Then Razor laughed. "Cold bitch. All right. No notes." He stood, leather squealing. "Half a mil by noon tomorrow. Or I start peeling fingers." The union office was empty at midnight. Just the hum of the AC and the flicker of my desk lamp. I typed furiously, transferring funds from the safety training account to a Cayman Islands shell company. The screen glowed green. $500,000. Poof. Tony would rubber stamp it in the morning. The man couldn't find his ass with both hands and a GPS. A noise, a click from the hallway. I froze. My reflection in the dark monitor. Wild-eyed, hair greasy, a 68-year-old widow playing gangster. Pathetic. Betty. Shit. Hank from custodial shuffled in, mop in hand. His overalls hung loose, stained with decades of grime. "Working late. Audits." I lied, slamming the laptop shut. He squinted. "Ain't like you to miss bingo. Emily's funeral wiped me out." His face softened. "Hell of a thing losing a kid. My brother OD'd in 08. Never gets easier." The words hung between us. Hank's brother. Emily. The unspoken thread, Carson Pharma. Rage bubbled in my gut. "Tell him. Drag him into this." Instead, I forced a smile. "Thanks, Hank. I'll be all right." He nodded, mopped a phantom stain, and left. I waited 5 minutes. 10. Then vomited in the trash can. The safe house was a double-wide trailer off Route 9. Razor's war room smelled like gun oil and stale pizza. Surveillance photos of Voss papered the walls. Him snorting lines off a stripper's ass, him handing out oxy samples at a clinic, him waving from his Lexus like the fucking Pope. Twitchy manned a laptop, drones buzzing on the table. He's home alone tonight. Mistress is at her shift. Hooters. Razor handed me binoculars. Take a look. Through the grimy window, Voss's mansion glowed like a spaceship, pool lit neon blue. He lounged on a floatai, phone in one hand, martini in the other. Fucker's living the dream, Razor muttered. Nightmare starts now, I said. The plan was simple. Twitchy would jam the security cams. Fridge guy, real name, Dex, would cut the power. Razor would slip in, hold Voss under the water until he stopped kicking. Accidental drowning, they'd call it. Another rich asshole who partied too hard. But I wanted more. Wait, I said, digging into my purse. Emily's pill bottle, OxyContin 80 milligrams. Make him swallow these first. Razor raised an eyebrow. Overkill. He sold her these. Let him choke on them. He shrugged. Your money. They moved at 2 a.m. I waited in the van, ear pressed to a walkie-talkie. Cam's jammed, Twitchy hissed. Power's out, Dex growled. Silence. Then splashing. A gurgled scream. Please, I'll pay you. Razor's voice, cold as a scalpel. This is from Emily. More thrashing. A wet crunch. Then nothing. The walkie crackled. Package delivered. I closed my eyes. Saw Emily at 7, blowing out birthday candles. Make a wish, Grammy. Wish granted, baby. Back at the Union Hall, I poured bourbon into my coffee mug. The news played on the ancient TV. Pharma exec found dead in tragic accident. Tony wandered in, reeking of gin. Transfers went through, Betty. Smooth as silk. Good. He hesitated. You okay? You look different. I stared at Voss's obituary on my phone. Survived by wife and golden retriever. Just tired, Tony. He left. I pulled up the next invoice. $750,000 for equipment upgrades. The door creaked again. Razor leaned against the frame, blood speckling his boots. One down. Two to go. He tossed a necklace on the table. A gold pendant shaped like a caduceus. Voss was wearing it. Thought you'd want a souvenir. I pocketed it. The metal burned like a coal. Next target's choppier, he said. CFO. Lydia Cho. She's got bodyguards, a panic room. And she's smart. Smart's overrated. He grinned. Now you're talking, Dot. That night, I sat in Emily's room, the pendant in my palm. Her ghost felt closer now, in the shadows of the band posters and stuffed animals. One down, baby, I whispered. The floorboards creaked. Not Frank this time. Not the cancer. Just the weight of what I'd become. Chapter 3, First Blood. The second hit went sideways. Not that Razor would admit it. Minor complications, he'd growled over the phone, but I heard the lie in his voice, the tightness of a man gripping a steering wheel too hard. I knew something was wrong the second I saw the news. CFO Lydia Cho's home invasion leaves one dead, two injured. The word injured glared at me like an accusation. I'd told him to make it clean. Discreet. Cho was supposed to vanish. A car crash, a boating accident, something the board could shrug off as bad luck. Instead, Razor's crew turned her penthouse into a war zone. Bullet holes in the marble, blood smeared across a Picasso, and a dead college student, Cho's mistress, sprawled in the foyer with a .45 round in her lung. Collateral damage. That's what Razor called her. Like she was a broken lamp. The safe house reeked of antiseptic and adrenaline. Twitchy paced, muttering about cops and ballistics. Dex sat shirtless at the kitchen table, stitching a gash on his bicep with fishing line. Razor glared at a police scanner, his jaw clenched so tight I heard his molars crack. I slammed the door. You promised clean. Razor didn't turn. Plans change. You killed a kid. She was 22. Legal. My hand twitched toward my purse. The .38 felt heavier these days. She wasn't the target. Finally, he faced me. His left eye was swollen shut, purple and oozing. Cho had bodyguards. Ex-military. We had to improvise. Improvise? I kicked a drone battery across the room. You turned a hit into a fucking Tarantino scene. Twitchy flinched. It was my fault. I froze. Razor backhanded him. The kid hit the wall, blood trickling from his nose. You're done freezing. Next time you pull the trigger or I'll feed you your own spine. I stepped between them. Touch him again, and I'll burn the rest of your money. Silence. The scanner crackled. Suspects believed to be armed and... Razor laughed, sour and hollow. You're soft, Betty. That's why Frank never let you in the game. Frank's dead, I said. And your game's got rules even I can't fix. Cops are crawling. The union's asking questions about the money. We need to disappear Cho, not paint a target on our backs. He grabbed my arm, fingers digging into bone. We. You're the money lady. I'm the muscle. Stay in your lane. I didn't blink. Or what? You'll kill me? We'll pay for your bullets then. Tony. He let go, sneering. Cho's still breathing. That's on you. I drove to the Union Hall, my hands shaking. The roads blurred, streetlights smearing into halos, taillights bleeding like fresh wounds. Cho's alive. The thought curdled in my gut. She'd talk. She'd point fingers. She'd bury me. The hall was dark, but Tony's office light glowed. I found him slumped over his desk, an empty gin bottle rolling at his feet. Spreadsheets littered the floor. The forged invoices, the wire transfers, the whole fucking house of cards. Tony, I said too loud. He jerked awake, glasses askew. Betty. I was just, double-checking the numbers. Bullshit. I kicked the bottle. You're drowning. Why? He rubbed his face. My kid. She's sick. Liver failure. The bills. I'd seen the photos on his desk, a gap-toothed girl in a soccer uniform. Maddie ate. You're skimming, I said. He froze. What? No. I. Tony. He broke. Sobbing, snot bubbling. I took 50 grand. Just to keep her alive. I'll pay it back, I swear. I crouched, I level. The cops come asking, you tell them nothing. You hear me? Or your kid's an orphan. He nodded, frantic. I'm loyal, Betty. Loyal. I believed him. Right up until I found the wiretap in my desk drawer the next morning. Cho's penthouse was a crime scene now. Police tape fluttered in the wind, reporters circling like vultures. I parked 3 blocks away, hood up, and slipped into the crowd. Tragic loss of an innocent life, a newscaster droned. The screen showed Cho's mistress, Maria Lopez, 22, nursing student. Her face was Emily's, same dark curls, same stubborn chin. A cop eyed me. Young, buzzcut, eager. Ma'am, you know the area? Just passing by, I said, clutching my chest like a grieving grandma. He bought it. Terrible stuff. You'd think these rich types to have better security. I nodded, tears hot. The world's gone mad. Razor called at 3 a.m., Cho's hiding in a safe house. Jersey. We move tonight. I sat in Emily's room, her postcard from Miami in my lap. Loyal patient. The ink was smudged, her fingerprints long faded. No more mistakes. No mistakes, he echoed. The Jersey safe house was a concrete box in the woods. No neighbors, no streetlights. Just the hum of a generator, and the glint of rifle scopes in the trees. Cho's guards patrolled the perimeter. 2 ex-Marines with enough firepower to storm Kabul. Razor's plan was simple. Too simple. Drones drop flashbangs. We breach. Put 2 in Cho's skull. I watched through night vision goggles. She's got panic buttons. Cameras. Drones'll fry the electronics. And the guards. He racked his shotgun. Dex'll handle them. Dex grinned, his stitches stretching. Like mowing grass. Twitchy crouched behind a tree, muttering Hail Marys. The drones buzzed overhead. Razor counted down. 3, 2, 1. The flashbangs detonated, bang, 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 and the world turned white. Chaos. The guards were ready. Military-grade earplugs, night vision, reflexes honed in Fallujah. They opened fire, bullets shredding the drones. Dex charged, his machine gun roaring. Twitchy froze again, piss soaking his jeans. I crouched behind a SUV, the .38 useless in my hand. Razor cursed, dragging Twitchy forward. Move. Cho's silhouette flitted past a window. Razor fired, boom, and the glass exploded. A bullet tore through Dex's thigh. He screamed, collapsing. Twitchy finally snapped, emptying his clip blindly. One guard went down. The other lunged at Razor, knife glinting. I did the only thing I could. I ran. Cho's safe room was a steel vault under the stairs. She huddled inside, phone pressed to her ear. Send everyone. They're here. I kicked the door. Lydia. Let's talk. Silence. Then, shaky. Who are you? A mother. A pause. The door cracked open. Cho's face was gaunt, mascara streaked. Please. I have money. I aim the .38. So do I. She laughed, hysterical. You're her. The pension lady. They warned me about you. Who? Varga. He said you'd come. The name hit like a slap. Varga. The CEO. Cho's eyes gleamed. He's been tracking the money. The union funds. He knew. The floor tilted. Varga knew. He let me kill Voss. He used me. Cho lunged, nails raking my face. The gun clattered away. We fell, thrashing, her fists pounding my ribs. She was strong, yoga strong, Pilates strong. Then Razor's boot cracked her skull. Cho went limp. Finish her, he panted, blood dripping from his knife wound. I grabbed the gun. Aimed. Cho whispered. Varga's watching. He's always. Bang. The cops found Dex's body in the woods. Twitchy vanished, no note, no trail. Razor drove me back in silence, his knuckles white on the wheel. I stared at my reflection in the window. Bruised, bleeding, old. Varga played us, I said. Razor lit a cigarette. So we play harder. That night, I dreamt of Emily and Maria Lopez. They sat on a park swing, laughing, their faces merging into one. Look, Grammy. We're flying. I woke up screaming. The cancer in my gut pulsed, a ticking clock. 2 pharma kings dead. 1 to go. Chapter 4, Rats and Rot. The cops came knocking 3 days later. Not for me, for Razor. Someone had talked. I knew it the second I saw Tony's greasy face on the evening news, flanked by suits from the DEA. The little shit stood at a podium, eyes darting like roaches under a flashlight, and lied through his teeth. Union funds were misappropriated without my knowledge. I hurled my bourbon mug at the TV. It shattered, leaving Jesus on the cross with a spiderweb halo. Tony's voice kept droning, cooperating fully with authorities to bring the perpetrators to justice. Perpetrators, like he hadn't sobbed into my shoulder, snot dripping onto my blouse, begging me not to orphan his kid. I should have cut his throat then. The safe house stank of infection. Razor's knife wound had turned gangrenous, oozing green sludge down his leg. He sat shirtless at the kitchen table, stitching his own flesh with fishing line and vodka. No Twitchy. No Dex. Just the two of us and the flies. Tony's rolling, I said, tossing the newspaper at him. He didn't look up. So he knows about the Cayman accounts. The shell companies. The hits. He's a rat. Rats get stomped. I grabbed his needle. The DEA's freezing the funds. We're broke. He yanked the needle back, threading it through his skin. Then get more. It's over. Varga's won. His fist slammed the table. Syringes jumped. Nothing's over till I say it's over. You wanna quit? Go bake fucking cookies. But Varga's still breathing, and your girl's still dead. The words hung between us, rancid. Emily's face flickered in my mind, her last birthday, blowing out candles on a drugstore cake. Make a wish, Grammy. I stood. I'll handle Tony. Tony lived in a tract house with plastic gnomes and a bless this mess doormat. His wife's minivan was gone, kids' dance recital maybe. I parked two blocks away, hood up, and cut through backyards. The August heat clung to my skin like a disease. He answered the door in sweatpants, reeking of gin. Betty. I can explain. I shoved past him. The house smelled like microwaved pizza and fear. Where's the wire? What? I don't. I backhanded him. His glasses flew. The DEA wire. Where is it? He crawled backward, whimpering. Kitchen. Above the fridge. I found it taped behind a cereal box, a thumb drive. How much did you give them? Just the transfers. I swear. And the hits. He hesitated. A fatal mistake. I pulled the .38. How? Much? Voss. They know about Voss. And Cho. But I didn't tell them about you. I protected you. The gun trembled in my hand. Emily, age 10, hiding behind my skirt during a thunderstorm. Don't let the bad guys get me, Grammy. Tony clutched my ankle. Please. Maddie's got a surgery next week. If I'm not there. I kicked him. You sold me out for a plea deal. They threatened to take her. Social services. What was I supposed to do? I aimed at his knee. Not. This. Bang. He screamed, crumpling. I stepped over him, pocketed the drive. Tell the DEA I drowned. Tell them I'm dead. Or Maddie loses both parents. The cops found Razor's hideout that night. Or what was left of it. I watched the news in a motel room, peeling blood-soaked band-aids off my arms. The screen showed charred trailers, body bags. No Razor. He called at 3 a.m. You torch my place? You're welcome. A pause. Then static laughter. Cold bitch. Where's the money? Gone. DA's got it. Then we're starting over. I stared at the motel mirror. My reflection looked 80. Bruises, burns, hair like steel wool. The cancer in my gut pulsed, a hungry thing. I'm done. Bullshit. Varga's got a gala next week. Charity event for opioid awareness. He spat the words. We hit him there. Public. Painful. No. You owe me. I hung up. Emily's room was how I'd left it. Hello Kitty bedspread. Syringe on the nightstand. The postcard from Miami. Loyal patient. I lay on her floor, tracing the water stains on the ceiling. The doorbell rang. Pastor Jim stood on the porch, Bible in hand. Betty, we've missed you at services. I blocked the door. What do you want? He glanced past me at the shattered TV. I heard about your troubles. The union. The police. Get to the point. He lowered his voice. A man came by the church. Asking about you. A dangerous man. My pulse spiked. Describe him. Tall. White beard. A gold tooth. Razor. He said to tell you, Pastor Jim swallowed. The matriarch pays her debts. I shut the door in his face. Varga's gala was at the Carson Pharma headquarters, a glass monstrosity downtown. I watched from a parking garage, binoculars shaking in my hands. Limos rolled up. Men in tuxedos, women in gowns worth more than my house. A red carpet. Paparazzi. And there he was. Michael Varga. Tan, trim, teeth glowing under the lights. He kissed a reporter's cheek, waved to the crowd. A banner flapped behind him. Hope starts here. Razor's voice slithered from the shadows. You look like hell. I didn't turn. So do you. He limped closer, reeking of gasoline and rot. His leg was wrapped in duct tape. Gala's the play. We go in hot. Gas the vents. Let the rich fucks choke. Innocent people. No such thing. I lowered the binoculars. Varga dies. No one else. He snorted. Still playing moral? I'm playing smart. You go loud, they'll bury us. He grabbed my arm. You owe me $1 million and 2 corpses. We do it my way. I shook him off. Your way got Dex killed. And Twitchy. And Maria. Maria? He laughed. You're getting sentimental, Granny. The .38 was in my hand before I knew it. Call me that again. He leaned into the barrel. Or what? You'll shoot me? Then who'll kill Varga? You. The cancer twisted in my gut. Yes. A phone buzzed. Razors. He read the text, smirked. Change of plans. Meet my new crew. Headlights flared. A black van rolled up. The door slid open. Twitchy sat inside, pale as a corpse. A shotgun pressed to his temple. The man holding it was Tony. Chapter 5, The Matriarch's Toll. Tony's hands shook. The shotgun trembled against Twitchy's temple. The kid's face slick with snot and tears. Razor leaned against the van, grinning like this was open mic night. The parking garage hummed with fluorescent light and the stink of motor oil. You're late, Betty, Razor said. Had to recruit a new friend. I kept the .38 trained on him. Tony's no friend. Tony's voice cracked. They took Maddie. D.A.'s got her. Said they'd give her back if I helped them find you. Razor lit a cigarette. Turns out our boy's got spine after all. Made him a deal. Help us hit Varga, kid goes free. Refuse, he mimed a gunshot. Twitchy whimpered. Betty, please. Razor silenced him with a glare. You're alive 'cause Betty likes you. Don't fuck that up. I lowered the gun. What's the play? Gala's got a vault, Razor said. Varga's stashing cash, documents, proof he knew about the hits. We crack it, burn his empire down. And the gas. Backup plan. He tossed me an earpiece. You're on crowd control. Tony blinked. Crowd control. Razor slapped his cheek. Distractions, genius. Betty's a sweet old lady. Nobody'll suspect her. The van reeked of sweat and gun oil. Razor drove, Tony rode shotgun, Twitchy and I crouched in the back with the gear. Body armor, gas masks, C4 bricks wrapped in duct tape. Twitchy kept staring at his hands, muttering. Kid, I said. He jumped. Why ya? Why'd you stay? He swallowed. Razor said he'd kill my mom. Would he? Yes. I handed him a Glock. Then make it count tonight. Razor's eyes flicked to the rear view. Touching. Carson Pharma's gala glittered like a diamond casket. Chandeliers, champagne towers, a string quartet sawing through Mozart. Varga held court at the center, his tuxedo worth more than my house. I adjusted my wig, gray curls matronly, and tightened the corset digging into my ribs. The .38 nestled in my purse. Tony stumbled in first, drunk dad chic in a rumpled suit. He lurched toward the bar, drawing stares. Razor and Twitchy slipped through a service entrance. My job, keep Varga busy. I approached him, clutching a champagne flute. Mr. Varga? My grandson's a huge fan. He turned, smile polished. Always nice to meet a supporter. Up close, he smelled like money and Botox. He wants to be a pharmacist, just like you. Wonderful. We need fresh blood in. The lights flickered. A murmur rippled through the crowd. Razor's voice hissed in my earpiece. Vault's locked. Need more time. I grabbed Varga's arm. I read your speech on healing communities. Such passion. He tried to pull away. Thank you, but... Bang. A server dropped a tray. Tony staggered, slurring. Oopsie. Varga's bodyguards closed in. I tightened my grip. Your work saved my family. Let me hug you. He froze, disgust and politeness at war. Of course. I embraced him, whispering. Emily says hello. His breath hitched. What? Boom. The floor shook. The vault door blew, smoke billowing into the ballroom. Screams erupted. Razor's crew stormed out, guns raised, dragging duffel bags of cash. Gas the vents. Razor barked into the earpiece. No! I shouted. Varga's mine. Chaos. Guests stampeded. Varga's guards drew weapons. Tony panicked, firing wildly. A bullet shattered the champagne tower. Twitchy lunged at Razor. You said no gas. Razor backhanded him. Adapt. I shoved Varga behind a pillar, the .38 at his spine. Move. Quietly. He obeyed, sweat soaking his collar. You'll never get out alive. Neither will you. Razor's voice crackled. Vents are live. 90 seconds till the whole place chokes. I dragged Varga into an elevator, jamming the close button. Twitchy sprinted toward us, Razor on his heels. Betty! Twitchy screamed. Razor shot him. The kid crumpled, blood pooling on marble. The elevator doors closed. Varga laughed. Your crew's a mess. I pistol-whipped him. Where's the proof? Proof that you knew about the hits. The overdoses. All of it. He spat blood. Safe. Where you'll never. The elevator lurched. Stopped. Lights died. Varga's smile glinted in the dark. Security override. My men are coming. I pressed the gun to his kneecap. Where? Is. It. Bang. He howled. Bolt. Floor B2. The elevator dropped. Floor B2 was a concrete bunker. Servers hummed. Varga limped to a retinal scanner, tears streaking his face. It's encrypted. You'll need me to. I shot the scanner. Sparks flew. Try again. He whimpered, typing a code. Files flooded the screen, emails, invoices, memos. Sales targets. Increase oxy prescriptions in low-income counties. Suppress overdose data. Eliminate whistleblowers. I copied it all to a thumb drive. This goes public. No one will care. I care. Alarms blared. Footsteps pounded above. Varga lunged for a panic button. I shot his hand. You're a monster, he hissed. I grabbed his collar. I'm a mother. The gas hit first, a sweet, cloying stench. Varga gagged, clawing his throat. Carfentanil. Razor's backup plan. I slapped a gas mask on. Enjoy your product. He collapsed, foaming. I ran. The garage was a war zone. Cops, SWAT, Razor pinned behind the van. Tony lay dead, a bullet in his eye. Razor spotted me. Betty. I tossed him a mask. We're even. He caught it, grinning. Hell we are. We fled in the van, sirens wailing. Razor drove, I rode shotgun. The thumb drive burned in my pocket. He glanced at me. Where to? Post office. Then the river. Suicide. Cleaning house. He laughed. Should have teamed up sooner. The river swallowed the van. We watched it sink from the bridge, the thumb drive in a mailbox addressed to the New York Times. Razor lit two cigarettes, handed me one. What now? I stared at the water. Varga's dead. It's done. Bullshit. His buddies are still out there. The board. The sales reps. I'm done. He grabbed my arm. You don't get to quit. Not till I say. The cancer in my gut flared. I coughed, blood speckling my palm. Razor froze. Oh! I smirked. Still wanna play? He let go. How long? Long enough. We stood in silence, the river swallowing the evidence. That night, I dreamt of Emily and Twitchy. They sat on a park bench, feeding ducks. You didn't have to, Twitchy said. Emily took my hand. Yes, she did. I woke to Razor shaking me. Cops found the van. We gotta move. I didn't argue. The drive blurred. Highways, backroads, a motel with peeling wallpaper. Razor bandaged a bullet graze on his arm. I coughed into a rag, red blooming in the fabric. He tossed me a whiskey bottle. To the matriarch. I drank. To the dead. Chapter 6, Poetic Justice. 1,500 words. The cancer won. It ate through my gut like a feral dog, gnawing ribs, shredding muscle. Razor drove us west, chasing the sunset like it owed him money. We slept in motels that reeked of mildew and meth, ate gas station burritos, and kept the .38 between us like a third wheel. The thumb drive was gone, mailed to the Times in a dead drop, but the rot inside me kept spreading. Razor didn't care. He had a new hit list. Carson's board members, he said, stabbing a map with a switchblade. 7 left. We hit them all. Burn the whole fucking tree down. I coughed into a diner napkin, blood blooming like roses. I'm done. He flicked the knife at my throat. You're done when I say you're done. The waitress refilled our coffee, oblivious. We stopped in Amarillo so I could puke in a Walmart parking lot. Razor bought a first aid kit and stitched his latest bullet graze under a flickering streetlight. I leaned against the van, watching a teenage couple argue outside a Taco Bell. The girl had Emily's laugh. You're staring, Razor said. She looks like her. He snorted. They all look like her. He was right. Every cashier, every waitress, every face in the rearview, Emily's ghost haunting me. Twitchy's too. And Maria Lopez, the nursing student. And Tony's kid, Maddie, who the DEA never gave back. I crawled into the van, my spine screaming. Razor tossed me a bottle of Jack. Drink. It'll help. Liar. Yeah. But it'll burn good going down. The board members died one by one. A VP drowned in his pool. A lobbyist OD'd on his own product. A lawyer's Porsche exploded outside his mistress's condo. Razor didn't need me anymore. just my name, my face, my pension fund schematics. I became a ghost, haunting his carnage. The headlines screamed, "Pharma execs slain in revenge killing SBRE." The Times published the files. Stock prices crashed. Congress launched hearings. None of it mattered. Emily was still gone. Razor found me bleeding out in a Phoenix motel. I'd collapsed after showering, the tub water pink as Pepto. He kicked the bathroom door open, stared at me naked on the tiles, and laughed. "Pathetic. Fuck you." He draped a towel over me. "Not my type, Granny." He carried me to bed, shot me full of morphine, and read the obituaries aloud like bedtime stories. Charles Whitmore, beloved father and philanthropist. I grabbed his wrist. "Why are you doing this?" He shrugged. "Bored. Liar." He left without answering. The last target was Robert Kane, Carson's lead chemist. The architect of their deadliest pills. He'd retired to a ranch in New Mexico, guarded by drones and ex-SALS. Razor wanted to napalm the place. I had a better idea. "Invite me in," I said, smoothing my floral print dress. "Play to their pity." Razor sneered. "You look like a Sunday school teacher." "Exactly." He drove me to the gate, his knuckles white on the wheel. "One wrong move, I blow the place." "Noted." The guards patted me down, found no weapons. Just a sweet old lady with stage 4 cancer. Kane received me on his porch, a lemonade pitcher sweating in the heat. "Ms. Wilkes," he said, smiling. "I read about your crusade. Tragic. What happened to your granddaughter?" I clutched my purse. "You made the pills that killed her." He sighed, the sigh of a man who'd practiced remorse in the mirror. "We never intended." "Bullshit." I pulled the photo from my purse. Emily at 6, grinning with a melting popsicle. "You named them. Oxycontin. Fentanyl. Like they were your children." His smile faded. "Security." "Too late." The cancer wasn't the only thing rotting inside me. I'd swallowed a razor blade that morning. Blood gushed down my chin. Kane recoiled, lemonade shattering. "What the hell?" I lunged, tackling him. We crashed through the porch railing. His guard sprinted, shouting. I clawed his face, the blade slicing my insides. "This is from Emily," he screamed. Razor's sniper round took out the first guard. The second grabbed me, yanking me off Kane. I bit his hand to the bone. Chaos. Gunfire. Razor's van plowed through the fence. "Betty," he roared. I crawled toward Kane, leaving a snail trail of blood. He scrambled backward, whimpering. "Please. I have grandchildren." I showed him Emily's photo. "So did I." Razor's bullet took his knee. Mine took his head. The van fishtailed through the desert, bullets pinging the chassis. Razor hooped, high on slaughter. I slumped in the passenger seat, the world fading to static. "Where to now, Granny? Vegas? Mexico?" I pressed Emily's photo to my chest. "Home." He laughed. "You are home." The dashboard lights blinked. The engine sputtered. "Shit." Razor swerved. "We're leaking fuel." "Pull over." "Fuck that. They're gaining." I grabbed the wheel. "Pull. Over." The van skidded into a ditch. Razor cursed, reaching for his rifle. I slapped his hand. "Look at me." He did. For the first time, I saw fear. "This is where it ends," I said. "Like hell." I kissed him. Hard. Biting his lip, tasting blood and bourbon. He froze. Then I shoved him out the door. The cops surrounded the van, shouting. "Sirens. Helicopters." A megaphone squawked. "Come out with your hands up." I didn't. I lit a cigarette, my first in 40 years, and watched the sunset. The cancer had eaten everything but the rage. Emily's laugh. Twitchy's tears. Maria's smile. The cigarette burned down. "So did I." Epilogue. The New York Times. Exclusive. Carson Pharma cover-up confirmed in pension fund revenge plot. Documents reveal CEO Michael Varga ordered the suppression of overdose data while funneling millions to offshore accounts. Betty Wilkes, 68, remains at large. CNN. Vigilante grandma still missing after Phoenix shootout. Authorities found a charred van in the New Mexico desert, but no remains. Reddit thread. r/unsolved mysteries. Anyone else think Betty Wilkes is still alive? User 1, nah, she's dead. But damn, what a way to go. User 2, she's out there. Hunting pharma bros. User 3, queen shit. Pour one out for Betty. Emily's grave. A fresh postcard rests against her headstone. Miami sunset, Carson Pharma logo. Back of the card. They're all gone, baby. Rest easy. Gee. The end.